1 Timothy chapter 3. Would you follow as I read the word of the living God? This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, translate that word elder, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let us pray together. Our eternal God, we are grateful and deeply thankful for your word, and as we approach these words this morning, we seek the blessing of the Holy Spirit to instruct our hearts as we consider your instruction for the church, its leadership, and pray that you would bless each of us, those who are called to leadership, as well as the congregation, that we may see your word clearly and that we may abide by its truth. To that end, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, the book or letter that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy is occasioned by the need to instruct the church in matters pertaining to church leadership. Paul is concerned about how the church conducts its business. He wants it to operate according to what the Lord wants it to do. And as the inspired apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives instructions to Timothy and to the church as to how they are to conduct the church's life. The first chapter of Paul's letter to Timothy is given over to instruction and to warnings about false teachers. And as you read that, you'll understand why Paul is so concerned. He tells the church you have to be aware of false teachers, that they don't invade the church, and that you don't succumb yourself to the false teaching. Chapter 2 gets a little more specific. The second chapter gives specifics about worship in the church and how worship is conducted and how men are to pray and women are to learn in all godliness. Now we come to the third chapter. In chapter 3, we come to the instructions that the Apostle Paul would have for us concerning elders in the church. And as I read the text and paused at the word bishop, as it is in our translation, I remarked there that it should be translated elders. And that's true, because it is the word in Greek episkopoi or episkopos, and you hear in that the episcopal church. That's where they get their root from, from that Greek word, and that word is translated elder. In other translations and in other places, another word in Greek is used for elder, and that's the word that we get for the formation of our church name as a Presbyterian. It is the word presbyteros or presbyteroi in the plural, and it simply means elder. And whether it's the word episkopoi or presbytery, there you go. I just spent a couple of days at presbytery. That's where we get the word presbytery from as well. Presbyteros, those words are interchangeable for the word elder. And so we're going to use the word elder as we look at this passage, because it's the more familiar word the word that's more understandable to us. But those words, overseer, which is what episkopos means, and presbyter, which is what an elder is, those are words that are used throughout the New Testament to speak about the office of the elder. Paul says then, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position, or if you will, the office of an elder, he desires a good work. Paul's encouraging men to seek the office of elder in the church. And notice that he says it's a good work. It should be desired. It should be longed for. It should not be avoided. I've been in many situations where there have been people who say, oh, I know what is involved, and, you know, I just don't have the time. I want to avoid it, if at all possible. That's been my experience through the years. And as I come to this passage, I can't quite understand that kind of reaction in the person when they say, I want to avoid it, when Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the office is something to be desired. Then notice as well, just a few opening remarks about the eldership. Elders are to be males. If a man desires the position of an elder, and throughout this passage, it's clear, and I believe it's clear throughout the whole New Testament, that the office of the eldership is restricted to men. I didn't make it up. It's in the Word of God. God has put it there. And then it also says that the elder must have these qualifications and its observable behavior. Nobody can go and look inside a person's heart. So what you will find in this list that we will look at, we'll look at half of the list this morning, and the Lord willing, half of the list the next time, you'll find observable behaviors and observable characteristics. What you see and what you observe in a man, because you can't look into his heart as well. And even the wives, no matter how good your relationship is with your husband, you don't know what's deep in his heart. You can't read his heart. Well, you might know how fallible he is and some of his peculiarisms and characteristics, and we all have them, but you can't know the heart. God only knows the heart. And so he doesn't give us a list of things to look at in the heart. He gives us a list of things that we can observe. Observable behavior. And Paul is concerned about the behavior of these men and what they teach. Because as I said in chapter 1, he has given a very lengthy warning, as he does in 2 Timothy, about false teachers. And you observe what false teachers say, and you listen to them very carefully, and you can then understand that they are not teaching in accordance with the Word of God. You can't know their heart, but you can listen carefully to their teaching. And when you hear what they say, if it does not align with the Word of God, then you must judge them to be false.